ننظره ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله.
يا ايها الذين امنوا يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القران الكريم اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما انفقوا من اموالهم.
Brothers and sisters, I'm very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say that we praise Him. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He should be praised. We seek Allah's refuge, we seek His guidance, we seek His help. We depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe in Him. We bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship besides Allah the Almighty, and we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's messenger and His servant. We make dua, ask Allah's peace on His messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family, his great companions and Muslims everywhere. Ameen. Brothers and sisters, I always like to remind you from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whomever Allah guides cannot be misguided. And whomever Allah allows to stay in the darkness, you will stay in the darkness until Yawm al-Qiyamah if Allah doesn't bring you out with His mercy. Brothers and sisters, I want to leave with you today a short khutbah, but potent, especially for the men. I just want to focus our attention on one part of an ayat of the Quran, just one part, but powerful. Allah says in Quran, and brothers, I would suggest that we read this verse over and over again, and then more, today and tomorrow. I intend to read this verse every day, inshaAllah, in this month of Muharram, a new year, 1413. This is a new year for us. I want to live this verse, and I want especially then to live this verse. To me, brothers and sisters, this verse that I'm going to recite today is one of the absolute keys to the success of marriage. Everyone should be very tuned to this verse, because brothers and sisters, it is not the problem alone of the Muslim's marital relationship, but it is indicative of the problems all over the world, and it has also found its way into our ummah in a very bad way. So we need this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in His Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الرجال. Stop. The men. Every man should open his ear. What is Allah going to say about me? الرجال, the men. قوامون على النساء. You are the maintainers, the protectors, the providers, the superintendents, the managers of the affairs of the women. Now, that's a responsibility, it's a weight. Take it, brothers. This day, take it. الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض. Because Allah has preferred one over the other. And the part of that ayah that I want to emphasize and focus on today, وَبِمَا أَنْفِكُوا مِنْ أَوَالِهِمْ, and because they spend out of their property. And of that verse, I want to focus on two words. مِنْ أَوَالِهِمْ, from their wealth. This is what I want to talk about today for a few moments. But I want you to get it, brother, and get it well. Because this will be the key, in my opinion, a major key in the success of your marriage. And even to repair your marriage. For those whose marriage is on the brink. I want to say this first, brothers and sisters. Everybody in this world, sooner or later, is going to bear witness. Every word in the Quran is the word of Allah. And every statement of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want us, brothers and sisters, to have absolute faith and confidence in Al-Quran. Absolute faith and confidence in every word of the Quran. And in the Sunnah, the authentic Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The theme of today's khutbah is this ayat of Quran, الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. And the sub-theme is this statement of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. The best of you is he who learns Quran and teach it. Everyone will bear witness to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you that the Quran, not only is it the word of Allah, but the Quran, everything in it is natural. And there's nothing in the Quran that's unnatural. There's nothing in the Quran that goes against human nature. Nothing. Everything in Quran is absolutely in accordance with human nature. Everything. And if you resist any verses from the Quran, it doesn't mean that it is against human nature, but it means that we have gone against human nature. And it shows how sick we are. And we need Al-Quran. We need Al-Quran. Every one of us needs Quran in everything we do, because brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, America is an unnatural place that have made people unnatural and taken them away from their nature. American environment has taken the people away from their very nature. And no longer do they act like themselves anymore. No longer do men act like men. Men act like women. And women act like men. This is the nature of the American people. Yes. Even women who don't want to be men act like men. Even women trying to be themselves have lost themselves following after white America, following after European America, following after the system of America. Women, many of them working outside of the home, executives, have lost their nature. Because they're living in a man's world, and they're trying now to live and compete in a man's world. And then when she go home to a man, she forgot how to be a woman. Yes. Because she can't go back and forth. She can't go to work and act like a man and then come home and try to be a woman. She forgets her nature. So now the Quran has to bring her back to her nature. And man has to be himself and demand and command for her to be back to where she's supposed to be. The way Allah created her to be. For this world have transformed the women and transformed the men. Most of the men in this society are real wimps. No, they don't act like a wimp in terms of macho. Macho don't mean you're a man.
You ask my sort of hide the fact that you're a wimp. Because you don't know what it's like to be a man until you go to Quran and then let Allah shape you and form you again and let Prophet Muhammad, the real man, shape you how to be a man. Because a man don't mean muscle. You want the definition of man? I'll tell you the definition of man. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the definition of man. You want to know the definition of man? Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wa sallam. You want to know the definition of man? Prophet Jesus. Those are the definition of men. And you want to be a man? Pattern yourself after the conduct of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Jesus, Prophet Moses. These are real men. And not these that we see running around here. They're males, but they're not men. Females, but they're not women. How do you know it? The nature of woman is found in Quran, and the nature of man found in Quran, and found in the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we have a problem. The problem is that many people profess the Quran. They profess Sunnah, but they don't follow Sunnah, nor do they follow the Quran. We want to take the Quran from the theory of practice. Theory. Most of us are believers by theory. We believe in the Quran by theory, but practice, uh-uh. Many of us don't adhere to the wisdom of the Quran and Sunnah. I'll give you an example. I'm just going to deviate for a moment from the topic that I really want to give you, just for a moment, to bring this point in. I said to you, everyone will be forced to bear witness from the Quran, subhanAllah. I read a book the other day about body language. It's a wonderful science. People don't have to open up their mouths. They tell you a lot by their body language. How they sit. How they move their eyes. Body language tells you a lot. If you observe, you look at people, they tell you a lot. So this scientific book on body language was letting us know, how do you know a woman is interested in a man? And they had pictures. And they said, when a woman is not interested in a man, she keeps her eyes down. She don't look at the face of a man. This is what the book says, when she's not interested. But when she begins to show interest, she moves, turns her body towards the man, and then she looks about the face. But he knows that he got her when she looks at him in the eye. So Allah said in Quran, tell the believing men to lower their gaze and guard their modesty. Why? It's a scientific fact, man. When you look at the woman in the eye, you're giving her a message, you're giving her a signal, and she's giving you a signal. Lower the eyes. Lower the eyes and guide your modesty. Well, this is the way the American people do. We look at each other, we shake hands, we hug. No, not here we don't. We don't shake hands with women, and we don't hug them. Well, we went to college together. We went to high school together from a distance. Man, you want to shake the man's hand? Fine, shake it. But that woman you used to know, you don't shake her hand, you don't hug her. You say, I'm sorry, you know, I know we went to high school together, but I'm a Muslim now, and Muslim men just don't shake the hands of women. I shake the hand of my wife, my daughter, my mother, my aunt, my grandmother. But I'm not permitted by law, the law of the world, to shake your hand, have nothing against you. But I'm trying to be obedient to my Lord. Don't be so quick to put your hand out. And some Muslims really shocked me. I went to Washington, D.C. to be on a television program. And the producer of the program happens to be a woman, a young woman, an attractive woman. So she put her hand out to me to shake my hand. I went there with another Muslim from Washington area. And she put her hand out. I said, Madam, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to offend you. But our culture as Muslims is different. And it is not our way to shake hands. And she said, okay. Then the brother from Washington puts his hand and shakes the girl's hand. So now, what does that make me? The contradictions.
I know we don't want to offend people. You're right, we don't. Sometimes we place in predicaments. You don't want to make people feel bad for you. Just shake your hand. But don't let that be the way. I know Muslim men, not only do they not refuse the hand of women, they initiate, they put their hands out. I saw a time once when a Muslim man put his hand out to a non-Muslim woman. She said, oh, I understand Muslim men don't shake women's hands. Isn't that embarrassing? Oh, he said. He got embarrassed because a non-Muslim reminded him of his faith. And then, brothers and sisters, subhanAllah, I read a book here. It's called Stalemates. Stalemates. The truth about extramarital affairs. SubhanAllah. And I don't have time because it's not our topic. If you go to this book, 260 pages, everything they're talking about why men and women commit adultery, all the reasons, all of them, you find they violated some Quran or some hadith. All of them. The nature of this society, putting men and women together on the workforce, working together close, this is not Islam. So brothers and sisters, we have to have a revolution of ideas in this society. We have to change it. Does that mean we have to take all our wives and put them in the home? No, not necessarily. But it does mean that we have to protect them. If they're going to work outside the house, we've got to protect them, brothers. Hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you. Because if you don't, we're going to have massive adultery right in the Muslim Ummah. Why? Because you don't not commit adultery because you're Muslim. You do not commit adultery because you follow the Quran and the Sunnah. And you don't put yourself in position where you can commit fornication and adultery. Sister, if you're a woman, outside the house, you're on the job, you don't be in the face of men. You don't be in the office alone with a man. You don't be laughing and giggling with a man in your job. If your husband was there, you wouldn't be doing that. But now, brothers, we got a problem. You know what the problem is? We stay on our wife's case. What you doing talking to that man? Why you in the face of that man? Why you laughing with that man? But you laughing with Susie on the job. You in the face of the women on your job. What's good for the geese, good for the gander. It's not just for the women, it's for the men. Somehow men think it's all right for the men to talk to the women on their job, but your wives can't talk to the men on their job. No, not like that, brother. Islam is not like that. All of us have to adhere to the Quran and Sunnah and don't seclude yourself with the opposite sex. It's wisdom. Because Allah knows. He knows. So He protects us, our protection, adhering to Quran and Sunnah. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to say this, and then we're going to conclude on the topic that I want to say. The danger with this ummah is that we don't get enough Quran and Sunnah in our lives. We don't read the Quran enough. We don't apply it enough. We don't understand it enough. We don't teach it enough. And the problem is, we are reading and getting a steady diet of non-Islamic material. Now, I read. I love to read. I read material because I want to see what these people are thinking. But you know what? My flashlight is the Quran. I read these books with the flashlight of the Quran because these books contain darkness and poison. And if you don't know how to discern the darkness and the poison, you read the novel, read the book, and get the poison inside of you, and then begin to adhere to the philosophy of the author of that book. Or you turn on the TV and watch a program. So-called experts begin to say things, and you take that expert opinion and adopt it as your own, and you don't have the criterion of the Quran to say, this goes against Quran. I'll give you an example. We had a young man years ago, young brother, Muslim brother. He had a little psychological problem. So he went to a psychologist. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't mind Muslims going to Muslim psychologists. But I'm a little bit concerned about going to non-Muslim psychologists. Why? Because these non-Muslim psychologists sometimes will give you information that goes contrary to Quran and Sunnah. Young man here, unmarried, at the time he was about 19, 20 years old. And the psychologist said, "Oh, I know what your problem is, Mr. Muhammad. Your problem is that you are repressing your sexual drives. You need to go out there and get a woman." But I'm not married. Don't make no difference. Go on out and get a woman, man. That's your problem. And you know, this is the kind of advice psychologists have given to Muslim men and women. Advice that goes against Quran and Sunnah. So brothers and sisters, whenever you go, psychologist, philosopher, author of a book, producer of a television, radio program, listen, watch it. But watch from a discerning eye. How you do that? Like of Quran. Wallahi, I read books. And listen, subhanAllah, I see something in that book in conformity with Quran. I go right to the verse. I say, wow, that damn witness what Allah said in Quran. Or I read something in the book. I say, astaghfirullah, that goes directly against what Prophet Muhammad said. But you got to read Quran first. And then read books. Some of us read books and don't read Quran. Read books and literature, but don't read hadith. And they wonder why they're misguided. خَرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعْلَمَ الْقُرْآنِ وَعَلَّمَ The best of you is he and she who learns Quran and teach it. Teach it to everyone around you. Teach it to your wives. Teach it to your husbands. Teach it to your children. That Quran and Sunnah. I close, brothers and sisters, and remind you, brothers, as I remind myself, the Quran is in the nature of the man and the woman. الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ وَبِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ The men are the maintainers, protectors, and providers of the women, because Allah has given one more than the other, give preference to one over, above the other, in that regard of leadership, and because he spends out of his wealth. He spends out of his wealth. والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى صحبه أجمعين أما بعد Brothers and sisters, listen brothers, next few moments I'm going to talk to you. And before it's over, some of you brothers might be upset with me. But you know what? I don't care. If you're upset with me because I'm going to give truth from Quran and Sunnah, I accept it. If you're upset with me because I bring something other than Quran and Sunnah, you're right to do that. Brothers, I told you about 2 months ago that there is a civil war taking place in the Muslim Ummah, an ideological, a philosophical, spiritual civil war. I want to emphasize that again, but I want to add another dimension to that. Right now, there is an absolute, ferocious battle and war taking place right in the family among the Muslims, especially between husband and wife. I've been talking to the imams lately. We've been talking together, analyzing this phenomenon in great abundance. I can tell by my schedule each day how many Muslim couples come to my office. The list now is long. How many call me home? Early in the morning, late at night. Do you know what it's like to receive a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning and on the other end is the husband and wife arguing and fighting? This is not unusual for me. This is becoming the norm. And I talked to the other imams, is it just me? No. It's universal. Something is happening. What is it? And if you knew the nature of a man, you wouldn't complain. You just understand. Because all men are dogs. And when a dog piss on a rug, you don't get angry. You understand. Well, that's just a dog. That's the nature of a dog. He said, men just like that. It's a philosophy. All men are dogs. One book, the title of the book is Men from Mars. Men are from Mars. They're different from another planet. And women are from Venus. And brothers and sisters, when you see all the literature that's out there, you say, this is what they're saying about men. Why? You know what? It's not really their fault. And it's not even your fault. It's the fault of that shaitan. He's so mischievous. And brothers and sisters, say what you want to say about shaitan, but he's skillful. He made a promise to Allah that he's going to take most of us, the majority of us. Allah didn't say he's not going to take any of it. He's going to take many of them except for my few slaves. A few of them, who are they? Those who adhere to Quran and Sunnah, even if it goes against themselves. But if you, brother, play with Quran, play with it, and only use it to whip the woman, you'll never be successful. If you use hadith only to beat the women, you'll never be successful. The key is, apply it to yourself first. Yes. Apply it to yourself first. Let your wife, let your children, let your mother, let your father, let your friends see you applying the Quran to yourself first. Brother gets angry at his wife. Get attitude. Walk out the house. Okay. I'll cool down. Sometimes some of you brothers better walk out the house and put your fist in that woman's face. So walk out the house. You want to control yourself. But who gives you a right to walk out the house 3, 4, 5 days and the woman don't know where you are? You don't have the right to do it. It's against Quran. It's against Sunnah. You can't walk out and not let the woman know where you are and you go away 2, 3 days. Sister, don't go for it. Any brother, sister, your husband go out the house a day or two, you don't know where he is, contact the imam. And you're going to find where the brother is. Because you're wrong, brother. We're sending security after you looking for you. Well, you going to look for me? That's my own business. No, when you transgress, that's my business. And I'll go after you. For your own self. You need the protection against yourself. Because you know what? The time is out for you to do anything you want to do because you're the man. If I do what I want to do, E-man ain't going to do nothing to me, no. Watch and see. We have to protect this woman. Invariably, when a man goes away, don't tell his wife where he is, he's doing something wrong. Invariably. He ain't at the masjid. Where are you? Where are you, brother? You gonna go commit adultery because you're angry at your wife? You gonna use that as an excuse? You think Allah's gonna accept that on your qiyamah? Wait a minute. Imam, what are you saying? I'm saying what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. In my conclusion. You see, brothers, what has happened is that this world is so unnatural. It's reversing the roles. Joan London, I think her name is. Newscaster. Got a divorce from her husband. The man got a nerve to apply for alimony. I want to get some of her money. What's more absurd is he got it. J. just gave him alimony. I forgot how much he's supposed to get from her, how many thousands of dollars each week. A divorced woman now has to take care of her divorced husband. What the hell kind of world is this? Hell. Did I say Jehannam hell? What kind of hell? Yeah, hell world this is, because that's all it is. It's a hell world. Because these people don't know what the heck they're talking about. They intellectualize so much, they intellectualize right out of space. Can you imagine, man? A big, healthy man, 6 feet tall, healthy, sitting up getting alimony from his wife. Even if they gave it to me, I wouldn't take it. That's cheap. You cheat, man. Stand up. Be a man. I'm going to conclude. You see, brothers and sisters, we live in a very natural climate here. In my opinion, brothers, and I don't mean you, but the men in this society is messed up badly. They are messed up. They haven't got a clue on how to be a man. Haven't got a clue. So they follow Gotti. Maybe Gotti, I'll be like Gotti. Is it Gatto, Gotti? Gotti. I'll be like Michael Jordan. I'll be like Magic Johnson. These are the heroes and so they try to be like them. They haven't got a clue. And that's why their lives are messed up. They're following after the wrong ones. They're emulating after the wrong kinds of people. To me, there's no better role model than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no better. Because you know why? Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he combines the true. The strength of a man, the firmness of a man, and the gentleness at the same time. Strong for Allah, yet compassionate. Powerful and merciful at the same time. So we are unbalanced. We're crippled. Because we don't know how to act like a man. I close with this. Of all the nature of man and woman, I want to take one from the man and one from the woman only today. Can I tell you the nature of a man, brother? His nature is absolutely in accordance with that ayah from the Quran. وَبِنَا أَنْفِكُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. He spends out of his wealth. Don't you know, sisters, it's the nature of a man to want to take care of some woman? This is the nature of a man. He don't want to take care of himself. He wants to take care of a woman. That's the nature of a man. Allah created him to want to take care of women. But what happened? The society got turned around. And this society jerked the men around. Especially black men. And men of color. Hey man, why you gotta talk about that? I'm talking about it because it exists, man. Don't you see the handwriting on the wall? You're having problems, man, because you don't know the nature of oppression. You oppress so much that you don't even know it. You don't understand it. Somebody has to open your eyes to let you see it. Some of your victims and don't even know it. Victims of racism and don't even know it. Don't know why you can't get in. Because somebody got their foot on your neck, stopping you from getting in. But not just you, lots of people. I'll tell you about that in a minute. What's the nature of a woman? The nature of a woman is to want to be taken care of by a man. Don't care, brother, what kind of woman it is out there, how independent she is. Her nature calls out to be taken care of by a man. That's her nature. Her nature calls her to do that. But what happened? She becomes so disappointed, so frustrated with men, that she don't even want a man no more. She now wants a woman. That's how frustrated she is. Why? Because some men don't take care of no kind of business. Some men take care of no kind of business. When a man finds a woman, he always improves her condition. Man improves the condition of his wife. Some women marry men, and her condition gets worse. So instead of him taking care of her, he takes care of the man, or the male, excuse me. And so what happens? He no longer be himself, and she's no longer herself. Why? If Allah says that the man spends out of his wealth, listen to the wisdom of how Allah says it. وَبِمَا أَنْفِقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ from his wealth. That was said perfectly. Because it's Allah. You can't say it more perfectly than that. What do you mean? You see, some sisters make a mistake. The woman sometimes looks for absolute rather than relativity. So then she compares her husband to another man who makes more money. That isn't the right way to do it. So therefore, she doesn't appreciate what he gives, from what he earns. If a man makes $100 a week, it's not enough. But yet he goes out, work 8 hours a day, stand in the sun, and you know he hustles, he's not lazy, and he comes home at the end of the week and says, honey, here's $100. She's supposed to say, Allahu Akbar, thank you, baby, for what you have done for me. But she says, with disdain, what is this? This ain't enough for me, I want more. Nigga, you gotta go out there and get some more. This ain't nothing, you ain't nothing. He's never been nothing. Get out my face. You old low down something. Other women, they got this and they got a car, they got a house. And I'm living in this ratty apartment. I want me a house. Get out there and get me a house. Sister, you'll never get it that way. Because a man, nothing inspires a man like a good woman. Not a woman to badger and bash the man, but a woman to inspire the man. He don't need to be beat down, he need a woman to console. A woman to say, honey, you can do it. A woman to say, baby, I'm behind you, I'm with you, I'm convinced, I have conviction in you. And when a woman tells a man that, the man will go out there and conquer the world. A man will conquer the world for a woman he loves. And a woman who inspires, rather than criticize, rather than beat down. And you will find out, sisters, you get infinitely more if you know your nature and know the nature of a man. And so when you beat a man down, you lose confidence in him. It makes him withdraw. So he crawls into the cave. What happened to my husband? He don't speak to me. He withdraws. He doesn't love me. He goes away. He don't want to be with me. He don't want to be with that. He don't want to be with that. Because he wants a woman that's appreciative. Honey, our family is appreciative of that $100 that you have gotten. Then the next day, she said, you know, honey, you know something? I know some men who make $700, $800 a week and they don't have near your talent. You better than they are. And then she leaves it. She drops the seed. Because she got to now be wise. No more wisdom in Muslim Ummah. Everybody's law, no more wisdom, no more love, no more tenderness. Olden days, that's the way the women did it. And that's why they stayed married 30, 40, 50, 60 years. A woman know how to treat a man in the old days. But in the old days, a man knew how to treat a woman. So now,
We come define many of our women on welfare. All right, I'm the man now. I'm married now. Give me the check. Come on, I'm the main Tennessee. The Quran says, Ar-Rijalu Qawwamun 'ala An-Nisaa. And now read in Arabic now. Men are the maintainers of the women, so therefore give me your check now. And our man is the check money. Our man manages the welfare money. You go out there, go lie, go bring me the money. Hey, go lie now and bring me the money. And our man is the money. Don't go for it. A real man say, honey, I realize the condition you're in. I'm going to take you off that. Let be the media of this community. Every husband take their wives off of welfare. Every husband. This is the niya of this community. Of these Muslims. Every man who have a wife on welfare. Get off of welfare. But make your plan. Plan it. I'm not going to let that woman stay on welfare one more day if she don't have to. But I will be the man. I will maintain. I will protect. I'll be the provider. Not the government. Because as long as the government is the provider, the government will get the respect of your wife and not you. Now let me tell you another thing. There's a man, he's all right, I love you. It's okay, you keep me on welfare, I love you. You see, brothers, there's a misunderstanding that some people think that love is unconditional. No such thing as unconditional love. Everybody wants something in the relationship. They may not say it at first. Because she's smart. It's okay, honey. I understand. No problem. But when she gets you, you're going to hear a different tune. Right, you should. But I'm saying hear a different tune from the beginning. So, brother, you good brother, talk to my wali. Well, sister, I want to marry you. Okay, brother, fine. Alhamdulillah. Talk to my wali. Talk to my guardian. You see, because the guardian, brother, ain't going to be no wishy-washy self. Okay, brother, let me see your bank account. Well, what you mean? You want to marry my ward? Yeah. Let me see your bank account, man. What kind of money you making? What kind of job you have? Well, remember, I don't have a job yet, but I intend to get a business. When? Next year. Well, what kind of business? Sales. What kind of sales? How are you going to do it? What's your plan? What's your plan? What's the black and white? Where is it? Don't tell me about no stuff in the sky. Where is it? I can see it. I can feel it. I can touch it. I can understand it. Where is the plan? You see, because the nature of the man, you want to hear something, brother? The time you feel greatest, when you're providing for your family. Don't you feel good, brother, when you come home shopping and you bring all the food home? Don't you feel good, brother, to know that your wife and your children are nourished by the food that you bought from the sweat of your labor? Don't you feel good? Don't you feel good to know that your wife's clothing, your children's clothing is based on what you have done by your sweat and by your blood? Don't you know a good feeling? Especially when the wife and the children say, oh, Dad, thank you. He's a good dad. He's a good husband. Thank you. What I do for a man? Man say, yeah. You know why? It goes with his nature. But sister, let me tell you something. When a man don't take care of you, believe me, he's beating himself. It is a true man. He don't like not taking care of his wife. He don't like it. So, oh well, please help me to take care of my family. Please help me to get my family out of the condition that they're in. Please help me, Allah. And then to go to work. In my conclusion, brothers and sisters, I'm saying to you that it is the nature of a man. It is the nature of a man to work for his family, to spend out of his life, to sacrifice his entire life for his family. That is his nature. And he'll be truly happy when he is in conformity with his nature. And it's the nature of a woman. It is her nature to accept security from a man. Every woman wants security. Every woman wants to know that she's loved and nourished and cherished. Every woman wants that. To know that her man, my man will take care of it. I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about food. My man will take care of the food. I'm not worrying about that. I'm not worrying about the house. My man will take care of that. I'm not worrying about education for the children. My man will take care of that. I'm not worried about that. This is the nature of a woman. But I tell you the truth, brothers. We, many of us, have caused the woman to go outside of her nature. Why? Because now she, because we didn't take care of business, now she must go out there and take care of business, and then now she must lose something of her feminine nature, only because now she has to survive and take care of the family that was abandoned by so many men. Yes. And so many children, abandoned by so many men. So many children, abandoned by so many men. So now, a lot of little children running out there, Muslim children, who got fathers, they don't know where they are. Father don't send no money. Father don't send no maintenance. But a Muslim man, he runs toward obligation. He runs toward responsibility. He tries to find, where my son? Where my daughter? I want to be in their lives. That's a Muslim man. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have us to do. Now, brothers and sisters, I say this to you, brothers, in my conclusion. This society right now is suffering financially. If you read the papers now, unemployment rate is going up. New York City average is higher than all the cities around the country, higher than the national average. 10 million people in the United States looking for jobs can't find it. The question is, what do we do about it? I'm saying, brothers and sisters, brothers, we must please, I'm begging you, you have to band together. You have to do it. You have to do it today. I keep telling you, brothers, please, they are going to lay you off on your jobs. They're going to fire you. Read the handwriting on the wall. Big corporations are failing. People losing their jobs. Just the last month, another 100,000 went into the unemployed field. Big, monstrous multi-corporations are failing. Don't you see the handwriting on the wall? What are you going to do? Just wait for the government to take care of you? I'm saying they're not taking care of you. In addition to that, they're talking about Muslim fundamentalists. You're going to be the first to go. You thought you were the last fired when you were African-American. Or the first fired when you were African-American. Now you're African-American Muslim. And you came in an office so bad. Yeah, Islam, you Islam. See, they needed you before. Islam, I'm going to Juma. I'm going to make my prayer. You ain't going to say nothing about it. Now they got to fire 1,000 people. Now who I'm going to fire? Rashid, Muhammad, Ahmed. It's going to happen. Even if you're a good worker, you think they're going to keep you above their children, their friends? It doesn't happen like that. Not in this real world. Therefore, we must do for ourselves. That's what I'm saying. I said again, when this Juma prayer service is over, you got to get together. You got to pull your nickels together. You got to create jobs. You got to create industry. You have to do it. You have to do it. I'm almost ordering you to do it. Keep your job. No, don't quit your jobs yet. But create business, create industry now. Keep the money in the circle now. Why? Because we have to keep our families intact. And believe me, if our brothers are not working, the marriages are not going to work. Say what you want to say. You're idealistic. I'm trying to be real with you. Because that woman, for a while, she accepted. But after a while, the nature comes up now. She's seeking security. I'm saying, brothers, these brothers have to be secure, man. And not only jobs, I'm telling you, brothers, we have to have jobs that pay decent wages so they can take care of their family. I don't mean working two jobs, each job making $3 an hour. So you work 18 hours, or 16 hours, and then you spend no time with the family. Then you go to another problem. We want to have good jobs. Teach the children, educate the children, and at the same time, let the brothers, inshallah, work together to raise money, inshallah, so that we can be viable husbands
and fathers, inshallah, for the pleasure of Allah, spend on our family, then take some to build Islamic institutions, inshallah. We have to do it. So I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He blessed the men to be men. Bless us to grow in strength and bless to prosper this ummah so that we can do the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make his ummah in love with Al-Quran. Make us to study the Quran. Make us to read and make us to memorize the Quran. Make us to understand the Quran. Oh Allah, please bless us to implement your injunctions in the Quran. Oh Allah, strengthen us so that we be able to teach the Quran to the people. Oh Allah, guide us to Sirat al-Mustaqim. Oh Allah, you know how your community is suffering to finance the lack of it. Please help us and give us finances. Give us the strength and give us the courage. Give us the willpower to go out there and do it for your pleasure. Bless this community, oh Allah, with millions and millions and millions and billions of dollars for your pleasure so that we can develop the institutions for our children and for our family. Please help us. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad wa ala azwaji Muhammad wa ala dhurriyati Muhammad wa sallim tasliman kathira. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك الرحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار والحمد لله رب العالمين قام الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله